not doing anything. We got pulled over here for a job. It was for a reason.
So we're here today to talk about Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement and this really, I guess, surge of activism which will happen on May Day. There's been a lot of organizing around this particular day, sort of reclaiming Workers' Day, what it means to be a worker.
So I think the biggest challenge is that we're all engaging in autonomous actions.
Right.
So there's Town Square, and there's Mutual Aid, and there's this, and there's that, and there are all of these different actions that are happening all over the city, and coordinating them is a challenge. So it makes it a little hard to get the word out, I think, about what we're doing. My name is Ravi. I'm a born and raised New Yorker. I feel like there are not very many of us left in the city. It's full of people from elsewhere, which is okay. But I think people from New York have a very particular experience and the city means something very different to us. And I think that really informs why I'm in Occupy.
I mean, I think one of the interesting things about May Day in terms of this larger outreach as a concept is, in a way, kind of uncoupling the things that make Occupy compelling and attractive to people in terms of getting involved from the Occupy brand.
My parents were refugees. They escaped from Vietnam after the war, and I was born in a refugee camp, hence why my name is Lucky. And so the reason why they left the country was because in that oppressive environment, I would not be afforded any education because of who I was. You know, my parents were from the South. If we were in society at that time, I would not be afforded an education. So they escaped from the country. And so that's the reason why I occupy right here, because, you know, I think everyone should be afforded opportunities of education and to be upwardly mobile.
So I'll be going to Detroit and participating in May Day there, and there's going to be a series of organizations and coalition joining to bring light to that.
So when Occupy began, it really, for me, gave me permission to dedicate all of the awareness and interest that I previously had and to focus it in a way where I could actually start to make a difference, because there were a lot more people who were interested in making a difference and really doing something for real. So it felt like, oh great, it's arrived.
So one of the central takeaways is that of this event in Detroit and probably of Occupy Wall Street in general is that within the United States, you find yourself constantly pitting your principles against financial gain or loss. My name is Jim. I'm a freelance photographer. I've lived in New York for about 9 years now. And I've always been sort of blissfully removed from political action until I ran into my wife, she comes from a very politically active family. And when Occupy Wall Street happened, it was like this amazing convergence of ideas that so appeal to me. At the very least, the underdog idea that there's this small ragtag group of people, and this is such a like an American narrative, and to see it happen in front of my eyes and say, wow, I have an opportunity to help the underdog, and I identify with those people.
What happened after, you know, the park was evicted here was that a lot of people fell out from the movement. So what May Day hopefully will get through is that people are organizing, and they're organizing from a hyper-local perspective. You know, this idea of being an activist and being an occupier is not something which is for a small group of people. Yeah. It should be, there's naturalism to it. You know, everyone should be compelled to do that.
In the working group that is outreach, I have had numerous discussions with both Ravi and with Lucky, because we see the essential need to be outward facing, to be able to galvanize people who are not currently participating to care, to use the anger that is certainly within them to decide to say, you know what, enough.
The other thing which is really important in activism is this idea of art and performance.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's because that's what we connect with visually. Yeah, we have the van, which has a projector, which can project on any space in New York City.
So this concept about the van is fascinating to me, because it, in a very Occupy fashion, says, Well, if you want to reclaim a space, you just go and do it. You don't ask permission of the system that you're fighting against or trying to deconstruct in the first place.
And so it's this idea of what, you know, how part of moving the movement forward is, you know, how can we retake this sense of public space? And public space is not only here, out here, but it's up there. It's everything that we see on the street. And so the Illuminator will be going on a number of canvassing actions over the next few days and projecting, you know, different messages to do with May Day and, you know, bringing in people, bringing in friends. And there's actually a mobile library, and so it's actually a mobile occupation in itself.
Hey Nina, hey Ivan, how's it going? Alright, so what's the plan? We're gonna hit some high traffic areas, you know, maybe hit Williamsburg. Where are people out on a Friday night? Yeah? So what have we got with graphics, Ivan? What are you preparing at the moment? I love this Class Wars one, May 1st General Strike. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's the idea of sort of culture jamming and sort of to project that and get people thinking about, you know, how sort of corporate identity can be transmutated into something beautiful. I think that'll be really exciting.
I think we're gonna do like 5-6 seconds per slide, so then as we move around, people have time to kind of take it in and then switch to the next thing.
All right, it's Friday night before May Day, and we're really excited to do some visual canvassing using light projection on walls. So Nina and Ivan are putting together slideshows of really impactful May Day propaganda with, you know, 99% symbols and many of the stickers that we use in the movement. So what we're gonna do is project onto the walls as we drive along slow traffic areas of Brooklyn and try to really attract people on the sidewalk to think about what is coming up on Tuesday. Then we're gonna go to Williamsburg and we're gonna park and project a movie onto a building, and we're gonna come out and talk to the public, and we're really excited to talk more about what actions are happening on Tuesday. We never thought we'd have something like just directly projecting our art, of the art of the movement, the art of the revolution, onto buildings. You know, that's a direct action. And, you know, what we were saying before, discussing before, that's really awesome is that it's really powerful and its footprint is very large, but it's non-destructive, you know? So graffiti, you know, wheat pasting, that's destructive. But this, you make an even more powerful statement and it disappears afterwards. Come on guys, General Strike May 1st, no work, no shopping. Hey guys, General Strike May 1st, Occupy Wall Street, Union Square, 4 o'clock. And we're gonna be doing this every day until the General Strike without rest. We're gonna be tomorrow on a parade through Midtown, marching as newspaper boys, and people will be everywhere to tell about this wonderful movement and this wonderful flashpoint on May Day. It's not to be missed.
Is it really necessary though? I mean, we're not doing anything. We got pulled over here for a job. It was for a reason. We're just doing our job. You gotta understand that. It has nothing to do with any of this.
We don't know whether we're going to be arrested or get a ticket at the moment. It's completely legal to object onto buildings, but, you know, they try to find reasons to try and stop us, you know, because they control the public space and, you know, they want to restrict it. So they're going to try to find weird things like parking issues or other spurious claims to try to stop us from doing something interesting and beautiful.
Space is fundamentally important to the Occupy movement because, one, it is a different form of political activity. It's not a demonstration where everyone goes down in a bus to Washington, D.C., marches around, listens to some leaders speak, and then gets on the bus and goes home. That's what movements in this country have been doing for decades, and it's very easy for politicians to ignore them. The occupation is saying we are engaging in a physical presence, an open-ended takeover of some sort of public space. May Day has to do with a strike in Chicago in 1886, and it was a strike over the 8-hour workday. And this was in early May, and there were a series, two main protests. At the first protest, the workers were attacked by police. One person was killed and a number of others wounded. The next day, I believe it was, there was another protest, and a bomb, no one knows who threw it, was tossed in to the crowd, and seven policemen were killed. Eight anarchist leaders were then grabbed and convicted in a kangaroo court. There was zero evidence linking them to the bombing. One of them ended up committing suicide, four were hung, and three were eventually, I think, they were eventually pardoned. And so they became known as the Haymarket Martyrs. And in response to this, May Day was chosen as an international workers' holiday, but also a day to show solidarity among workers and workers' resistance to capitalism that is still celebrated throughout much of the world.
May Day's a joke, okay? May Day was made up to push an agenda. That's all it was. They tried to capitalize on it. Workers of the world unite and do what? We're protected by laws in this country. There are employment laws. I have a friend who's an employment lawyer. She's never out of work. If you have a problem with your employer, you have the legal system behind you. You have criminal redress if necessary, civil redress also. So the unions need to keep relevance. Their membership has dropped, I believe, some 6 to 8% overall. Their members are now questioning how they apply their funds as they see their pensions disappear. So now the unions need relevance. Again, this is a giant shell game, politically and culturally.
May Day, it's International Workers Day. In New York City, various immigrants' rights groups, labor unions, and Occupy Wall Street have come together to make this a historic, unprecedented day. It's a day of economic non-compliance, so we're withdrawing our consent from an economic system that creates suffering all over the world. It was a very difficult winter. The occupation in New York City was incredibly strong, and it inspired people the world over. And there was a systematic effort from the powers that be to prevent occupations from being successful because they are so powerful.
May Day has a lot of significance historically as an international day of solidarity. And so I think that's why today was chosen, to make sure that everybody around the world who is in their struggle for democracy and for self-actualization in the face of corporate power, to know that we're with them, to know that we care about what is going on in their communities as well as what's going on in our communities, that we believe we're together in this, that none of us should be fighting each other. We need to make sure that we remember who the enemy is, and it's whoever wants to make our lives miserable by not giving us what we are worth and what our rights deserve.
This land I'm a member of an organization called the National Lawyers Guild. It's the New York chapter. And one of the things that they do is they recruit volunteers to wear green hats as legal observers for the protests. And that's how I got involved with the Lawyers Guild. What they do is basically they put on a green hat so they can be seen, they can be easily identified, not only by the protesters, but by the police. And they just observe. They're there to collect evidence in case somebody gets arrested. That way they could have that evidence, or they can have access to that evidence if that defendant decides to take it to trial. And there are a lot of defendants taking them to trial, considering a lot of these arrests are arbitrary. Nobody's committed any crimes. It's the green hat's job to be able to be where the people are being arrested. We get the names. We give the names to the guild, and that's where the Mass Defense Committee comes in. They collect the names and information and pass them to community attorneys who volunteer to represent Occupy Wall Street defendants in court.
Well, I think everyone knew that that the police would be on their best behavior during the day, because City Hall would like to spin this as a showpiece for civil liberties in New York City and other cities.
A lot of people, if they think that maybe they're going to be arrested, or if they're going to intentionally do something to get arrested, some civil disobedience, then they'll write the Lawyers Guild's number on their hand so they can call a lawyer after they get arrested.
When the sun goes down and when reporters have filed their stories, it's a different matter. And I think that's the point at which people expected the police to start swinging their batons and making arrests, and indeed that's what happened. Everyone predicted that. So there was a sense of predictability and the roles being acted out as they had already been scripted.
May Day, we're at 55 Water Street and there is a People's Assembly happening right now. So the idea is that we had a huge solidarity march from Union Square, which went down Broadway and surprisingly came here. And so there's a surprise action tonight where everyone is gathering and talking about what a wonderful day they had and what political actions they had, and people are going to decide what they're going to do tonight, whether they're going to reoccupy this site or they're going to move somewhere else, they're going to sleep back in Wall Street, what we're going to do for the immediate future of our movement.
We will be joined!
We will be joined!
By members for Veterans for Peace!
By members of Veterans for Peace!
By members of Veterans for Peace!
And Occupy Faith!
And Occupy Faith!
And Occupy Faith!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lieutenant Zelinsky. I'm up in Manhattan, South Town.
The military vets knew that they had a role to play, and they played it very successfully again in New York City, and very nobly, and stood as a kind of barrier, protective barrier for some of the occupiers who stayed behind after the General Assembly in Water Street, and with very predictable consequences.
It has called again! If you leave within the next few minutes, you will not be placed under arrest.
The consequences were a whole bunch of arrests and some fairly brutal behavior on the part of the NYPD. I assume because they were acting under orders and also because they'd been restraining themselves all day.
The next thing for Occupy, I think, is transcending Occupy, is really identifying ways in which the tools that we are creating within Occupy to challenge formal power structures can be extracted from Occupy and applied to other scenarios in life. Organizing communities, identifying problems, and then sort of like self-actualizing as groups of small people around those problems and attacking them with direct action.
I want Occupy Wall Street to be as visible, as maybe not effective in their goals, but effective in showing themselves for who they are. Why? Because the more Americans see it, the more the truth is seen. The strength of America is the risk in showing what's not popular or what we don't agree with. And by showing that, we see it, and Americans who left, right, doesn't matter, are majority fair people, will look at it, they've refuted them, that's what will happen.
Occupy is a very interesting word. It's a great meme which has sparked the movement, but I see the growth of the movement really is a natural thing. It's really just about civic engagement. So in my personal opinion, there's no way you can really leave this movement, because if you're about social progress, you know, more fairness in society, you can never leave that as a human being.